Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening of
another show. So as I finish up my trip to the West Coast, the last play I just saw here was one that I first experienced in New York, where it began many years ago. That is The Substance of Fire, written by John Robin Bates as he was beginning his career as a playwright and then a TV writer of note. This is a strong production featuring TV stars Rob Morrow, remember him, and Marcia Cross and a few others. Hey, it's L.A. There are a lot of recognizable actors hungry to try working on a stage. This is a two-act, two-hour piece about a tyrannical publisher trying to hold on to his company. And it's about family dynamics. He has three grown children, very conflicted. And it's about his history as a Jewish man who escaped Germany just in time, and how survivors of fascism can internalize and inherit attributes of their persecutors and turn into oppressors themselves. Well, anyway, this is not a comedy. Substance of Fire is playing at the Ruskin Group Theater at the Santa Monica Airport Arts Area. It's a small venue, but a popular one that attracts good actors and loyal audiences. The production, well directed by Mike Riley, is not perfect, but it's thought-provoking and one you won't soon forget. Now, as for goings-on back in New York, an exciting production has just taken off called Life and Trust. Now, this is the new immersive show from the producers of Sleep No More, a version of the Faust legend, Life and Trust, which opens August 1st, occupies 100,000 square feet over six floors of a financial district skyscraper in New York that was once the home of the Citibank Farmers Trust Company. The story is set on the eve of the 1929 stock market crash, during which a financier makes a deal with the devil in exchange for the chance to relive his youth. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get a canvas of this size, says Teddy Bergman, the director of Life and Trust. Now, I must say I knew Teddy years ago when he started something called the Woodshed Collective, one of the first to really do clever, immersive stuff. I recall one which was on a boat, another a citywide scavenger hunt, which even including a subway ride. Anyway, he knows this world. Now, on a very different note, tickets are now on sale to see The Very Hungry Caterpillar Show, which returns to New York City for a strictly limited engagement at the Duke on 42nd Street. It features a menagerie of puppets during a 50-minute show that faithfully adapts four of Eric Carle's beloved books. The production will feature stories that haven't been seen in 10 years, including the artist that painted a blue horse, Mr. Seahorse, the very lonely Firefly, and of course, The Very Hungry Caterpillar. This is always a good way to introduce the kids to live theater. Exciting casting news. Emmy winner and Tony nominee Edie Falco is joining the rotating cast of Pre-Existing Condition. Now, that's the new play written by actress Marin Ireland, as the show is extending its off-Broadway run at the Connolly Theater. The production began performances June 7th with Tatiana Maslany in the central role and will now be playing through August 17th at least. Falco will play the part of A, that's the name of the character, just the letter A, currently played by Tony winner Deirdre O'Connell, by the way. Tavi Gevinson takes over the role July 24th with Edie Falco stepping in August 6th. The idea of having rotating actresses in the role came relatively late in the project's long genesis, but it suited Marin Ireland's desire to do, as she said, to not allow people to judge, particularly this character, based on whatever externals they've been given. Whoever plays the main character, who has suffered a traumatic experience, by the way, appears with script in hand. You know, I have to applaud anything so experimental and even challenging that a playwright tries. Which brings me to what's happening across the sea, as in the West End of London, where I'll be going in September, by the way. There is controversy again around the production of Jeremy O'Harris's Slave Play. Now, this has to do with the decision to do some performances for black audiences only. These are called blackout nights. While some have questioned the idea, apparently many in those audiences say they feel, well, this makes for a safe space, a rare one. Slave Play, as you know, was highly confrontational and not for the usual matinee crowd. And there's more London news. This one is rather amazing. There is a new revival of Hello, Dolly. And the leading lady is Imelda Staunton. Make that Dame Imelda Staunton, who played the last queen on the acclaimed television series. This is being called the Musical Theater Event of the Summer, running at the London Palladium through September 14th. Hello, Dolly, of course, has always been a star vehicle. Carol Channing first played the matchmaking Dolly on Broadway in 1964 and made it her signature part. I saw a great revival with Bette Midler, a perfect choice, by the way. The only mishit was putting the great Barbra Streisand in the film role. Well, yes, great voice, but too young. On the other hand, the show obviously never gets old. On another subject, there have been an unusually large number of famous deaths in the last few weeks in the entertainment world. Bob Newhart, most famously, perhaps, a man who was the first comedian to win Best Album, not Best Comedy Album, Best Album, for his wonderfully deadpan single routines. And then there was Dr. Ruth Westheimer, most known for her witty and even wise advice on sexual proclivities. And yet there was so much more to this woman. As Dr. Westheimer said, hers was an only in America story of someone who had come to this country with absolutely nothing. Well, she did have a degree from the Sorbonne, and mostly she had a determination forged through hard times. She was an orphan of the Holocaust, a refugee and a fighter in the war for Israeli independence. Yes, she had joined a Jewish paramilitary organization and trained as a sniper. Although she never shot anyone, her legs were gravely injured by an exploding shell in 1948. Anyway, she finally reached New York in 1956. And yes, a play called Becoming Dr. Ruth was penned by Mark St. Germain, of Great Barrington fame, by the way. This would be a good time to put that play back up, I keep thinking. And I hereby suggest someone hire Rhea Perlman to play the lead role. Finally, on a happier note, a renowned theater will be the first institution to receive one of the Kennedy Center honors this year. Artists being recognized include Francis Ford Coppola, Bonnie Raitt, Arturo Sandoval, and the Grateful Dead. The final nod goes to the Apollo Theater in New York. Thank you, George Stevens Jr., for initiating this idea decades ago. There are days that I actually go on YouTube on my laptop and just start watching past Kennedy Center honor shows. Very addicting, I warn you. Among my favorites, Beyoncé singing The Way We Were for the honoree Barbra Streisand that year, and Lin-Manuel Miranda's tribute to Billy Crystal the last year. That one is beyond clever. Anyway, it will be interesting to see how they honor the Apollo. I can almost hear the tap dancing as we speak. Meanwhile, find a stage near you and support the arts, and I'll see you next time.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.